Since we know prayer, this intimate opportunity, is so valuable to you. Jesus, would you do a work in us today that we would leave overwhelmingly more appreciative of the relationship that we have with you for those of us that know you and call you Lord. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Lord, I pray, Lord, they would come at the end of the service, Lord, and inquire about how they can know you personally, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So that being said, next week is unique in that we've got, it's a stewardship week, and we've got somebody from the Baptist Association coming next week to speak a little bit, but to talk about like future financial planning. It's amazing that we can find blessing on this earth. Now again, not prosperity gospel, Ephesians 1:3. Got every spiritual gift in Christ, not physical, as in the Old Testament. But we have a chance to learn about wills and trusts and about giving opportunities that we can designate some of our estate, some of our assets when Jesus takes us home to kingdom purposes. And then you get blessed on this earth because you're still alive and I'm still alive. Interesting week next week. It'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of new information, but stuff that the church has done before, but it's been a number of years. So that's next week. Also, Jenny and Gracie, you guys are going to do Compassion Sunday. So there's an opportunity for people to give and adopt a little child from another country and look at the support that it might lead and bring next Sunday. You'll have a little testimonial there as well. Did I already thank you for being here today?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Thank you for being here today. I think the Lord thanks you for being here today. I really do. I think he's blessed that we would want to come to worship him, to prioritize him. And he's gracious. He's merciful. Remember through the Apostle Paul, he says, it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Kindness. What a beautiful attribute that we also possess because of the Holy Spirit in him. Hey, check this out. I think the hand raising is kind of like rabbit ears. Better reception. People are starting to raise their hands in church. It's okay. It's okay. I know some people... people like this, one hand, that'll make a traditional preacher very happy. Orderly worship, got a question. But when both hands go up, it makes the pastor really nervous. We want both hands to go up. If you're praising God and you want to, it's okay. It's okay. Lift our hands. It's a result of what's going on inside your heart. I got another one for this too, because I thought if this didn't make you laugh, then the other one might, because it's nothing worse than going home after you try to display a cartoon and set the tone for teaching and learning properly, and nobody laughs. And it's like, wow, that was actually a hindrance to the message. Okay. Okay. So I like this because the copyright allows for pastors to show this in church. So we're legal on top of everything else. That's always the bottom line. Be legal, be legal, be legal. Because how do you expect God to bless something if it's illegal? That's contrary to his word, to who he is. Even though, but I think you can get away with it, pastor. Five more times. Stop, no. The condition of the heart. Not good. Not good. Hey, look at this. Praying alone, praying in groups. This is the final message of six messages on prayer. And then we took a break for 2 weeks because of Palm Sunday and Easter to go on to those more important theme topics. But now we're back to prayer. Final message on prayer. So if anything, I want us to pray more. I want you to pray more in your family. Pray more with your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. Pray more. Pray more. Pray more in groups. Pray more at church. Pray more, pray more, pray more. I heard the women's group on Wednesday nights that Dorothy said, well, I think we pray a half hour now. And that's probably a little long, but praise the Lord for prayer. It's just, it's connecting. It's allowing the Holy Spirit for you to have a unique sensitivity to the Spirit. So pray more, pray more, pray more. Okay, have a nice day. Just kidding. We've got a whole message we get to deliver with excitement. Lord willing, in your time and in your way. Hey, praying alone. Jesus encourages for us to pray in secret. Matthew 6:6. Because of Matthew 6:5, hypocrites, and in this context, Pharisees and scribes, mostly Pharisees, who were praying at street corners, were distracting. It says that they may be seen by men. So to pray alone is valuable, because sometimes we can have somebody come near us and enter in, and we can start praying prayers of what we think they want to pray. We'll get into that in a moment. But praying alone, just you and Jesus, the value of that. People who want to pray for show, their reward will be there in full. It'll be nil. It'll defeat the whole purpose of a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to be in tune with Jesus. People can distract or can be distracted by others when praying. I know it's funny because along this line, we can modify our prayers to appease what we think others will expect us to pray or to pray shorter. I was a little taken back, Diane, nothing personal, but we were praying in the office. Diane pops into the office and then we just say, hey, should we pray? Because Erica's there. And she goes, well, you know what? I only have 2 minutes. And I said, well, let's just pray in 2 minutes. She goes, can you pray for 2 minutes? And I was like, golly! But you see, what happens is we can, I'm just playing. It was fun, and it was a joke. We had a great prayer time. And you let us go a little bit long, but not much longer. But anyway, so we have praying shorter prayers. When you pray with others, it's good, but there's a time to be alone with Jesus, because he has something for you, Jane. He has something for you guys individually. Okay, it's got something for John. And we want to know what that is, or at least you do, and I do for myself, so we know how to act that day, who to come and commingle with that day, what to do in ministry that day. Oh, praying alone is so important. And it doesn't take much. Just set some time aside. Very painless. Very easy, but the devil, the one that roams around like a lion, 1 Peter 5:8. He will try to overtake you. And how many times is he successful? He gets you distracted. You go to a room to pray, and all of a sudden the Laker game is on. Yeah, I'm a Laker fan. I've only been in town 9 months, and I'm a Laker fan. They lost last night, but I'm still a fan. Till they lose again, or we lose the series, and then what is it? Go Clippers. Hey! Lots of teams here. Okay, so hey, bottom line, when we're alone with God and listening, he and I can really connect. On your outline, it says, make an appointment with him. Will you make an appointment with him? You say, yeah, no, stop it. I did that when I was first born again. I don't need to do that, make an appointment. Okay, well, look how many days can go by before you have your next appointment if we're not consciously aware of the devil's schemes and what the Spirit's trying to do in your life. So that's praying alone. Simple. Make an appointment with him. Don't let your Great Dane distract you like mine does. Very entertaining. But after you get used to the saliva going this way and that way and spewing out of her mouth when she shakes, it gets boring after a while. You need some more stimulation. Pray, 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 pray. What's the theme? Pray. Yeah, let's pray. Look at this. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door. Don't sit that close to the door. You'll get nailed. You'll be knocked out. You'll have a 10-minute delay. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's like a no-brainer. And I'm preaching to myself. Yeah, I don't have the corner of the market on prayer. Not even close. Not even close. Well, this is God's word to all of us. Okay. Praying with others. Hey, Jane, come on up. Simon, come on up. Yeah. So this is really cool. We can pray with others. Just connect with others. And you can go and share prayer requests, and they can too. And the Holy Spirit in you will be different from the Holy Spirit in Jane and then Simon. And we connect together in a unique way where they start praying things. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah, I had no idea. This morning in our prayer circle in my office, Lori joined us this morning. Can I mention that? Thanks. So hard after I say it to ask, but it's just backwards. But she started praying for some things, and I'm going, that wasn't even on my radar. Now it is. And it was something very obvious that I should have known because I know about certain situations that she knows about. That's what it does. Look at this. Let's look at this together. Acts chapter 12. About that time, King Herod Agrippa, and that's Herod Agrippa 1, began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. They don't like those followers of Jesus. No. I guess there's like this movement called the Way. And they were all giving Jesus a lot of attention, and rightfully so. But people didn't like it. Jews, nor Roman leadership. When Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads, of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but I hope you will, because Peter gets freed and there's an angel. And he goes back to the people praying. And they're like, that didn't happen. How often do you pray? And it's just like, you just automatically give up. I'm going to pray this because God says to pray it, but it's not going to happen. You know, I mean, we do. And then God had a different plan. And so anyway, we would just get together and say, golly, Peter's, he's been taken. And I'm beside myself. I just don't know what to do. And I don't even have the words. But then in Romans chapter 8, we know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't have the words and gives us the words and petitions before the Father. Oh, thank you. And so in my group prayer, it's got value. Give these guys a hand for being so part of it. I know. Yeah, that's right. So... Yeah, it's like, Lord, you've told us how to do things. Help us in our unbelief. Help us in our unbelief. Oh, question. How does this change things around here with the power of praying together? It should change us dramatically together. For instance, Sherry's got a surgery tomorrow for a knee replacement. What if we prayed right now, kind of as that passage spoke to us about? Then we've got Evie in the hospital right now. She's got her head bandaged. She's had some electrodes, you know, that have been kind of planted to kind of see where these seizures are coming from. Why don't we pray for her now? Why don't we pray for our country now? God appoints leadership. to all countries. Romans chapter 13. It's like, well, you got to find out what party you are first, pastor. No. We're to pray about the condition of the nation and the spiritual leadership or lack thereof. We don't know. We're not there. So let's go around. Let's go around. You're relating, huh, Andrew? Oh my. So if we don't see any results praying, then we go to fasting, Andrew said. We're going to that in about 2 minutes. Good insight. Can I get a lady that will come lay hands on Sherry right now? Get a lady that can do that. She said, it's okay. Thank you, Jane. We just want to do that. Okay. Jesus, I would ask your blessing on Sherry. I would ask the doctors to be very skilled. And Jesus, in your name, we come before you in faith as a church to ask for the procedure to go off without a hitch. We ask that the knee would be replaced, and it would be replaced with no infection that would set in around the surgery, and that it would get her up on her feet faster than she's even imagining, and give her a quality of life that we can't even foresee right now, but know it's there. Make this the successful surgery, as the last two or three were canceled last minute. And may it be that we see your blessing, your church's approval, stamp of approval, and endorsement for favor, and for your leadership to shine through the doctors and her and Fred at the doctor pre, during, and post-surgery, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, that's good. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Gene. Thanks, Sherry. And so, Jesus, we'd also pray for Evie. Lord, we would ask that they would pinpoint where the seizures are starting from. We pray they would get that today. The sooner they get that, the sooner she gets to come home. So we just petition you. You know her situation. You know her parents' situation. That they're running on fumes. So bless them, Jesus. Give them such favor where they see things come into motion like they've never seen. Lord, we are their support. We are their love agents, as you will. We are your hands and feet, Lord, to them. So Lord, may it be that they're successful today, tomorrow, today preferably, where she'll be able to give them the information from her brain and be able to go home and give her parents an unbelievable sense of endurance. Oh, Jesus, we pray you would just not only show up because we know you have, but bring their family some comfort to know that you've got this. No matter how your ways being higher will infiltrate their family. Oh, Jesus, we just trust you with them. And Lord, finally, with our nation, we pray for our leadership, our president, his cabinet. We pray for our military. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the freedom that we have due to our vets, due to our military. But Lord Jesus, as it goes back to leadership and Congress and legislature and president and cabinet, we want to see more of you leading the way. We want to see people heeding you, that they would realize that you're alive and well and that you work through your creation to reveal yourself in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And through our conscience, Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, you reveal yourself in people's conscience. Help them to know there is you that wants to know them and that you would once again lead our country completely and totally. We pray for hearts to be stirred, and legislature, the Senate, the House, to get a glimpse of what it could be like if you were in power, first and foremost. News alert, Lord, you are in power, but help them to see it and help them to want to build on it, Jesus. Oh, you tell us to pray as a church, so we're doing that, Jesus. Help us to continue to do that week after week from this day forward because we see the value. In your precious name, Jesus, amen. Wow, good deal. Okay, hey, Look at this. Hey. Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And he was delivered. As Andrew said, if we don't see deliverance, if we don't see God moving and working, we get discouraged. And we say, no mas, no more. I prayed enough. Well, maybe we should start thanking the Lord. Because he's heard us. And if his ways are higher, Isaiah 55, and his means are better that we can't even comprehend, maybe we should just trust him. But you said fast. There must be something else that we're missing. Fasting. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I like my food a lot. I like it a lot. And you might go, he eats a lot of cereal. No, this is not cereal. This is lentils. This is lentils. Very healthy. Get it at Costco. Eight in a package for like $7 or $8 if they're on sale. Anyway, enough of that. Fasting. Putting the food down. Bites your tongue. That's not something to be proud about. Put the food down. Fasting. We've missed fasting. How could I miss fasting? Because I was really hungry a lot of times when I was thinking of fasting. God knows my situation. He doesn't need me to fast. He tells me to fast. Oh my gracious. Prayer and fasting, Jesus assumes that we will fast. For he says to his disciples, and when you fast, it's a given. We're disciples if we're followers of Jesus. It's a given. And when you fast, Matthew 6:16. Prayer and fasting is demonstrated when Nehemiah heard of the ruin in Jerusalem after the captivity. If you look at Nehemiah 1, 3, and 4, a tragic situation. He's fasting. He's going without a meal. I don't know how long, how many days. I don't know. Some people say, well, it'll be a coffee fast. No, not a coffee fast. Food, yes, not coffee. I don't know what God's telling you to fast with. I don't know what the recipe is and for how long. By the way, if you get a little bit crazy with fasting, go to your doctor and make sure it's okay first. Don't do anything crazy. It's like, I'm going to have a 40-day fast. And then you wind up in the hospital, you know, almost dead. Don't do that. But we need to recognize, you can fast a meal, so can I. And we're going to find out a rationale for that in just a couple minutes. A big rationale. So here's weird. Israel's temple needs to be rebuilt. They got killed by the Babylonians. They got killed by the Persians, then the Babylonians. And it's just, but King Cyrus of the Babylonians, King Cyrus came back and for Israel and was merciful and told Zerubbabel and Ezra that they could rebuild their temple. They could rebuild their temple. The Israelites could rebuild their temple. And they did. But guess what? Before they finished it, they had to divorce their foreign wives. That's weird. Nobody talks about that. That's strange. So then what happens is the temple gets rebuilt under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and they're reading scripture. But the wall's down. The wall's down. And so Nehemiah goes to a different king many years later and says, I want to rebuild this wall, because he's praying and fasting to say, this isn't good that the temple's not fortified, it's not protected. The walls are down, not good. Prayer and fasting. Look at this. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, Joel 2:12. Here, prayer and fasting are connected with repentance. Joel is calling Judah to repent. And guess what? God relents somewhat of the imminent attack that's coming now, but Judah still gets demolished down the road. But there is a little reprieve that comes with the repentance. Okay, with the prayer and the fasting unto repentance. You ever get sad about your sin before God? And you're like going, thank you. Thank you, because that's what we need to be. Sometimes and often we can't. Try to stop eating, fasting, when you're repenting of something. You start to get emotional much faster. You start to get much more in tune with the wrong during repentance. Oh, what a privilege, Lord. What a privilege. Prayer and fasting, Paul and Barnabas seek the Lord's guidance for church elders. First missionary journey, Acts 14:23. So in making decisions, you fast when you're making decisions. You fast when you're making decisions. Liz, do we fast a lot when making decisions or just pray a lot? We pray a lot because we love food. I mean, really, we love food. But we got to change. We got to change because with making decisions, fasting. And I'm going to give you some reasons why. I didn't put them in your bulletin because it would have been like a page and a half. And then people would say, that's too long of a bulletin. I'm not writing that long. No, you wouldn't have probably, but I just think these things, so I talk myself out of it. Some reasons for fasting. Okay, some reasons for fasting. But look at this. Tragic situations. Fast. Fast. Repentance. Fast. One meal. Two meals. Sometimes I'll fast breakfast and lunch. And I'll think I'm like just an incredible saint. And it's just like 3/4 of a day. Can't wait to eat at 3 o'clock though. And it's just so we're all at a different place. I know I'm down here with fasting. You know that. I carry food around during fasting sermons. Not to eat, but just to kind of make a point. And making decisions. Hey, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. And with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. Fasting. You and your friend can decide to fast and pray about this need in the church, this need in the church, this need in a neighbor. This person's lost and needs to know Christ. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Oh. Hey, check this out. This is unique. What does fasting do for us? According to my theology professor at Phoenix Seminary, Dr. Wayne Grudem, I really enjoy him, and I cite my reference below because I'm using his deductions from fasting. Check this out. A rationale to fast. A rationale to fast. I need a rationale. Yeah, he said fasting. He won't preach again for 5 years. You know, No. When something like this hits you, you go, why has so many prayers gone unanswered? Why have I not really even been serious? Remember our God a couple months ago? He's like a vending machine. Yeah. No, he's not. And he's not a genie. He's not a genie. No matter what anybody says, he's not a genie. Fasting increases our sense of humility and dependence on the Lord. For our hunger and physical weakness continually remind us how we are not really strong in ourselves, but need the Lord. I thought that was pretty good. I'm like, I can't put that in my own words. That's from Dr. Grudem. Fasting allows us to give more attention to prayer, for we are not spending time on eating. I bring food to prayer, and I eat the food. I pray 1 minute. I go back and get more. That's just my way of doing it. I could see his point here. It makes a lot of sense. And anything the devil will put to distract you, you go, oh, it's happening. It's happening. 1 Peter 5:8, it's happening. And when you can see Jesus, resist the devil, James 4:7. He will flee. He will flee. See Jesus for who he is. He wants to help us. He wants to help us. It's a continual reminder that just as we sacrifice some personal comfort to the Lord by not eating, so we must continually sacrifice all of ourself to him. I tell you, peeps, fasting is something very different that we've not talked about. And then when we're fasting, we're not to go around telling people, I'm fasting, leave me alone, I'm fasting, I'm fasting, I'm fasting. Your reward will be given if we blow it and we try to make known, kind of like our first slide, how wonderful we are in God, in Jesus. Fasting is a good exercise in self-discipline. Get this. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. For as we refrain from eating food, which we would ordinarily desire, it also strengthens our ability to refrain from sin. Can you see that? To which we might otherwise be tempted to yield. Do you see? If you're holding off, you've got a bountiful plate of barbecue ribs, and you just are saying no. Do you see how that psychologically can play in to say, resist the devil and he will flee? Resist the devil and he will flee. James 4:7. We can see it. We can see it. Okay. In closing here. Praying alone. Praying with a group of people. Praying with my spouse. Praying with my neighbor. Praying with my neighbor and our other friend Lori. Praying in all these configurations and praying fasting. Don't forget Thanksgiving and praise. Don't forget Thanksgiving and praise. Don't forget it. Don't forget to include it. When you're praying, don't forget Thanksgiving and praise. Don't. Praise. When Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6:9, he prays, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Set apart and holy are you." And I can pray that when I'm fasting. I can praise him when I'm fasting. Glory to you. You are lifted high when you're praised. And I feel really good when I'm praising you. Thanksgiving. Paul tells the Philippians to be anxious for nothing and to pray about everything. And everything by prayer and supplication. That's petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. Oh my gosh, I can pray about anything and everything that stresses me out while fasting with thanksgiving. And then he promises the peace that passeth all understanding. Guard my head and my heart, my sweaty head and my heart, my bald head and my heart. But there's protection coming if I lift it up. With thanksgiving, with praise. Oh, that's a weird formula. No, it's not. It's very simple. We can hide these things in the forefront of our mind and do them today and be mighty affirmed that we're walking in his will, in his light. Last but not least, mechanical prayers of praise and thanksgiving. Let's not deny the nature of prayer and dependence on God. He has set up his way to achieve his purposes through our praying. Through our praying. He's depending on our prayers. He's decided to use them to accomplish his purposes and his end in mind. So let's be faithful. Find that abundant life and living in him like no other time, John 10:10 says. And we can walk in the light as he is the light. Oh, here's the final challenge. This might be hindering our prayers just as much as not fasting. This is another kicker. Brace yourself. Paul was encouraging the Thessalonian Christians in personal worship as they dealt with their spiritual leaders and difficult people in their lives. That's the context of 1 Thessalonians 5. And so for personal worship, Thessalonians, for personal worship, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, I can give thanks for the things that I love and maybe the things that I kind of like or maybe a little bit like, but give thanks for pain in your life. Give thanks for sickness in your life. Give thanks for strained relationships in your life. Give thanks for family that don't talk anymore in your life. And trust God that as we walk with Him and His purposes, restoration could be in sight. Never stop hoping for that, because that's the God that we serve and we belong to. Look at these challenges. As our music people come and get ready to close us, and as our baptism gentleman comes, crews, and gets changed in the back there, look at these challenges for the week. Look at these challenges.